Lunchtime Live on News Talk.
Thanks to VideoDoc. See a GP online anytime for prescriptions and sick notes. Download the VideoDoc app. VideoDoc.ie.
This is Ciara and this is a Lunchtime Live podcast from News Talk. If you like what you hear, don't forget that you can subscribe via the app or on iTunes and make sure to check us out at newstalk.com/lunchtimelive. Thanks for listening.
But two changes to alter the link between the Catholic Church and Irish education will be made apparently within weeks. Education Minister Richard Bruton wants to remove the so-called baptism barrier, and those plans are said to be at an advanced stage, while moves to ask parents to decide who should run their local Catholic primaries are also well in the mix. Now, to discuss that, I'm joined on the line by Paddy Monaghan, the Barrister and Policy Officer for Education Equality. Paddy, good afternoon.
Hello, Sean.
And just before we get into our chat, we've been running a Twitter poll on this and we asked the process to remove the baptism barrier for admission to primary schools is at an advanced stage. Would you welcome this? So far, 81% say they would welcome it, 12% no, and 7% just don't care. So, Paddy, why should they care?
Those who don't care, well, I suppose it's because it's a fundamental issue of discrimination and equality in society, just like, you know, for decades, I suppose, in the 20th century, we kind of, in the later part of the 20th century, came to recognise general tenets of equality in society. And this is, we're just way, way, way out of step because our primary schools can still, by law, turn away children on the basis of their religion, our taxpayer-funded schools. And I just think that kind of speaks for itself, that it's unacceptable that on the basis of something like a child's religion, that their access to a taxpayer-funded school could be decided by that. So I think that's why they should care. But and I'm delighted that there's such a large proportion of people who favour this. But at the same time, you know, the way I see it, human rights are not a question of an opinion poll. I think human rights are just fundamental. So even if people were against it, I'd still say it's wrong and it has to change.
Mm. What is it then that Richard Bruton, because obviously this has been in the mix for a while, what is it he actually has to do to change the law to allow this?
Well, this is the issue. So we've been, I'm with Education Equality. We've been campaigning for some time now to remove the baptism barrier. The baptism barrier is Section 7.3c of the Equal Status Act, and it allows schools that are run by religious denominations to prioritise children in enrolment on the basis of their religion. Now, 96% of schools in Ireland are run by religious denominations. It so happens that 90% are run by Catholic schools, so apparently, we don't know because it hasn't been published yet, but it seems, based on his comments, what Minister Bruton plans on doing is removing the baptism barrier with regard to Catholic schools. The idea, because it's obviously the vast majority, 9 out of 10 are Catholic schools, primary schools, that is. And then the remaining 6% of denominational schools, my understanding is that he intends on allowing those schools to still prioritise on the basis of religion. In Education Equality, the view we take is that we feel that no school, no taxpayer-funded school, and we feel the Constitution supports us on this, no taxpayer-funded school should prioritise a child on the basis of their religion, that this is a clearly discriminatory factor. So on one hand, we very, very strongly feel that all schools should take children just on the, not on the basis of a discriminatory factor like religion. But at the same time, I'm a parent of a three-year-old child who'll be starting school soon. We do recognise that it's obviously a very, very positive step, and practically speaking, it removes the baptism barrier from it will remove the baptism barrier from many, many schools. So that's very positive. But at the same time, we still advocate that no taxpayer-funded school should turn away a four-year-old child or a five-year-old child because they're the wrong religion, which is what they're fully entitled to do and have been entitled to do for some years now.
The statement that we got from the Department of Education said that the minister will introduce an amendment to the education bill which removes the capacity for state-funded denominational primary schools where they're oversubscribed to use religion as criteria and for admissions. And it's expected the result of this provision will be that religion cannot be used as a criteria for admissions in virtually all schools, the exception being the small number of oversubscribed schools of a minority religious ethos, which is interesting wording, as you said there, when you take it in the overall context of religion. Yeah. What has the protest been from the Catholic Church or from some of their representatives? Because obviously, despite lots of things that have gone on with the Catholic Church and in terms of education, there are many, many good people who have done good work in schools to educate people over a long time in Ireland.
Yeah, I mean, I can't really, I mean, here's the interesting thing about Education Equality, our group. I know for a fact that throughout our group and at various levels of our group, there are people of faith. There are people who have you know, very strong religious faith in some cases. So it would be very wrong, and I think your poll upholds this as well, it would be very wrong to think that just because a person is of a particular religious faith, that they also, on that basis, can be taken for granted to favour discrimination against other children. I mean, what the polls would show is that, in fact, regardless of a person's religious faith, the vast majority of people just feel that this is wrong. So I can't really speak for Catholic groups. There may be some, I suppose, some strong Catholic groups that feel a certain way about this. But I think the fact is the people on the ground clearly strongly support integration and non-discrimination in our taxpayer-funded schools. So, as I said, and in my own personal life, I've lots and lots of people of faith, people of the Catholic faith, who just think it's madness that our local taxpayer-funded schools, I mean, it's the school around the corner we're talking about here, and it's just deeply wrong that they can discriminate in that way. So, yeah, I think the vast majority of people, as your poll shows, support this, and the thinking of... I don't want to put words in the mouth of any group that opposes this, because maybe they have their own reasons. But we feel the Constitution is strongly supporting us. To be honest, Sean, education equality, we stand for two things. Number one is the removal of the baptism barrier. But the other very important thing is we want the teaching of faith formation to be moved outside the school day. And as far as we're concerned, those two things go hand in hand. And we feel the next step has to be that faith formation in any particular religion be taken outside the school day. So that children, and again, this comes down to the Constitution. Constitution actually says verbatim, there is a right of any child to attend a school receiving public money without attending religious instruction at that school. So that's a right. That's verbatim. I've just quoted the Constitution. To attend a school receiving public money without attending religious instruction. So we would strongly say that removal of the baptism barrier is one part of this equation. But secondly, take religious faith formation outside the school day, and let parents choose to have faith formation for their children should they wish to have it outside school, and don't really force children, because at the moment we're forcing kids to sit at the back, segregating them in the classroom as religion and faith formation is taught during the school day.
And that's a whole other argument we could get into, and I'm sure we could be all day on that. But on the overall point, do churches who own a school, do they not have some right to try and keep their religion alive and to try and you know, bestow that upon the next generation, should that next generation wish to accept it?
Well, I think what I would say is no. If you're talking about rights here, we're talking about the Constitution. And really, so if we're talking about a kind of a general pub-type discussion about rights, the church can assert whatever rights they feel they have. But under the Constitution, which are really the only rights that matter in this country, we feel there's a right to an education. There's a clear non-discrimination clause against religious specifically setting out non-discrimination against religious discrimination in the Constitution. So coupling that with the right to attend school without receiving faith formation, we feel that the very, very strong and of course freedom of religion. You asked about the views of Catholic groups. I can only think that freedom of religion might be part of their view, that as a, you know, they're free to practice their religion as they wish. But we would say, in a taxpayer-funded school, freedom of religion applies to all of us. Freedom of religion doesn't mean freedom for the Catholic religion to ride roughshod over everyone else. It means that we're all equal, we all have freedom of religion, and it doesn't give one group freedom over another. So the obvious thing is, in answer to your question, when you're talking about rights, who pays the teacher salaries? Who pays for the upkeep? Who pays for rebuilding schools? Who pays for light, for heat? All of these things, in case your listeners are under any illusion on this, it is taxpayers. The taxpayer pays for all of those things. So in terms of rights, it's clearly we're paying for these schools. I'm paying for them the same as everyone else. Why shouldn't our children have equal access to them? But as I said, I don't really know of any Catholics who are particularly... I know there are some groups who are against this, but I don't really know any Catholics who are strongly against it. And I really can't work out why a church would want to do this. Again, I can only play devil's advocate here on this point from their point of view. Mm. Often we're told that Catholic schools are inclusive. We'll have the same groups who will oppose this legislation telling us that how inclusive they are. But then I'd wonder, well, if they're inclusive, why not just get rid of this law? Why do you need to have this law turning children away on the basis of religion? They'll also point out, they'll say, oh, very, very few kids are affected by this. Well, if it's a bad thing, first of all, we'd argue that a lot of children are affected by this. But secondly, if it's a bad thing, surely changing the law is a good idea. If we're accepting this, however few children are affected, surely it's a good thing to change the law to help everyone. Besides which, what we would find is marriage statistics just came out from the CSO there the other day. The Catholic marriages in 1990 were 93%. 93% of marriages were Catholic. Just now, in the CSO statistics for 2017, it's 50.9. Non-religious marriages have gone from 4% in 1990 to 37% in 2017. Now, what that shows to me is when people have freedom, when there's no other influence from the state and there's no advantages conferred by the state, people choose roughly 50% of the time to have a Catholic marriage. And yet we have surveys such as the an Ipsos poll in 2015, which showed baptism rates well over 90%, heading towards 95%. Well, clearly there are massive advantages, state-imposed advantages in schooling to having your child baptized. I'm not suggesting for a second that's the only reason for that discrepancy, but there's a huge discrepancy between what people do when the state doesn't impose any particular advantage and what people do when the state imposes massive advantages in access to taxpayer-funded services. So that being the case, the obvious thing to do is change this very discriminatory law.
Okay, Paddy Monaghan, barrister and policy officer with Education Equality. Thanks very much for joining us on the show. A good few of your texts in. The so-called baptism barrier only applies in areas where there are not enough places. How would it be fair to fill the limited number of places with non-Catholics and leave local Catholics with no places? The problem really is not enough school places. Another text on the baptism barrier. It's a red herring. Most important issues are adequate staffing, poverty-stricken children, and the damage smartphone use and internet porn is doing to our children. Well, to discuss it further, we're joined on the line by the Fianna Fáil spokesperson for education, Thomas Byrne. Thomas, good afternoon.
Good afternoon, Sean.
I suppose that's a text you might agree with. Do you think this is a bit of a red herring issue?
Well, it is to the extent that there's a very small amount of people affected by this in the negative, but there are people who are affected by this, and I think that it is wrong that they would be affected by this. But the principal concern that I have is that, you know, the announcement today by the Minister in relation to this is at least the eighth time that the Minister said he's going to do something about this, and there's been no action has been taken whatsoever on this. And that's the difficulty we have. He keeps promising that something will happen. Nothing has happened. We've indicated we would give our support to this, and we've in fact forwarded our own detailed policy proposals on this to the minister. And yet the minister keeps coming back to the Iraq committee, keeps coming back to the Dáil saying that this is going to be sorted. He's about to come forward with plans, but no plans have really been forthcoming. And it's hard to know what will happen and when it will happen.
What was the original timeline given to this, and where are we now in relation to that?
Well, sure, look, what we're talking about here is the school's admissions bill. Janet Sullivan brought this forward in 2015, I believe, and then it came back before the Dáil then in 2016. And to be honest, most parties in the Dáil had said that this should happen by the start of the school year last year in September 2017. In fact, during the summer of 2017, Fianna Fáil gave a list of five bills to the government that we would facilitate. And this was one of them. Now, of those five, only one has got through, and that's the Technological Universities Bill. And massive pressure from Fianna Fáil and from others to get that through. And it's the same pressure from us now to get this through. And we asked the Minister only last week in the Education Committee, we're willing to facilitate. And we said, in fact, that we wanted provision in relation to special education and forcing schools to have special classes where they're needed as well in the bill. So we're really interested in this bill from a number of standpoints. But in relation to the baptism barrier, there is a point there that some people have raised that this is an issue about school places in certain areas. That is the truth. There are some areas where this would not be an issue. And it is only an issue, by the way, in a small minority of areas where schools are oversubscribed. This is not an issue that affects the vast majority of Catholic schools around the country. It's not an issue that will touch on the ethos of Catholic schools, but simply where they are oversubscribed, mainly in Dublin and some other parts, that they wouldn't be able to use religion or in our proposal, bring people from outside their area in ahead of people from within their own area.
To interrupt you for a brief second, one of the texts in says, and this is talking about Paddy Monaghan, the barrister with Education Equality, who we just had on, says, what criteria does your guest propose should be used for school admissions instead of religion? Is it by age? So what do you think, if this baptism barrier is gotten rid of, should be that deciding factor?
Well, we're saying, first of all, that siblings should be the first port of call. So if you've got brother or sister in the school, you should be able to get into that school ahead of everyone else. Now, our proposal, we don't know, by the way, what the minister's exact proposal is. We simply don't know. Not only has he not put anything in through legislation, we don't even know what he wants to put through legislation. We're saying that you would be able to bring in members of your own faith from within the catchment area of the school and not bring people in from outside that catchment. That is a key issue at the moment, but also a key issue is the school places around these areas as well. There's a shortage of school places now emerging severely in parts of Dublin, parts of my own constituency, and meet them here at Ferry House in my own constituency at the moment before I go to the teachers' conference. But in some of the towns around Ferry House, we have a problem and a shortage of school places, and the same is happening in North Kildare and North Dublin as well. So if the issue of school places is addressed, this will become even less of an issue. But it is, and certainly in my experience, it is an issue for some students. They are entitled to education, and we want to see that parents have a choice of ETOS. So if a family wants to send their child to a Catholic school, then that should be facilitated too, as well as facilitating Greater Scotland Educate Together and other multi-denominational schools like community national schools as well. So it's about parental choice. It's not about getting religion out of schools. It's nothing to do with the ethos of schools. That won't change. But this is about making sure that parents have a choice and that there is choice for them. And in some instances, in relation to the ethos, that there would be divestment. And again, the minister has another announcement this morning in the paper that, you know, he would have some policy announced within weeks. We heard that literally 2 months ago. So there's been a lot of talk, a lot of spin from the government on this issue, but absolutely nothing in the way of action, despite Fianna Fáil saying that we would facilitate this once our provisions in relation to special education were included in the legislation.
Okay, Thomas Byrne, Fianna Fáil education spokesperson. Thanks, Fianna, for joining us this afternoon on Lunchtime Live. Lots of your texts in. Please ask what the majority of parents, what if the majority of parents want religious faith formation to be done in school? Is your guest saying the majority opinion should be ignored? That's again in relation to Paddy Monaghan. Only 4% of Catholic-run schools enforce the baptism barrier. A statistic is unreported by the media. More Catholic schools accept children of all faiths and none. That's from Declan. So a bit of a balance of opinion here on the text. Colm is a caller who's on the line. Colm, good afternoon.
Hi, Sean, how are you?
Colm, what do you think about the baptism barrier? Should it stay? Should it go?
Well, I think it should go, personally. I mean, I think it discriminates. It doesn't promote diversity and the kind of understanding and acceptance you would have having children of different faiths within a school, you know. It's not reflective of society as it is today. I mean, if you look at the last census, there was finally a box to tick for no religion, and several hundred thousand people ticked that box. And as Paddy Monaghan, the man from Education and Equality, he made the point that it is taxpayers' money funding these schools, and, you know, that should reflect that.
What do you make of the suggestions that even though 90% of these is going to affect Catholics, that then other, religious-run schools, Church of Ireland perhaps, or whoever, will be able to still do this and to discriminate over their religion, even though they make up such a very small amount of the schools around the country?
Well, I think it is a case of dealing with that majority. Like, I mean, 90% is a huge majority. And I take the other man's point there about different areas and it being a case of school places, not necessarily that it's religious discrimination per se, but it's a lack of school places. Personally, I think religion and school should be separate, but that's a separate issue. The baptism barrier is just dealing with facilitating people's choice and what they have access to. And in more rural areas, I mean, you don't have an Educate Together or a multi-denominational school to choose from. Mm. You only have maybe that Catholic ethos school, you know.
Yeah, that's a good point. And I'm sure there will as well be some areas where there are that Catholic majority who would want their children to be educated in Catholic. So should there maybe be an option? Should it be an opt-in, opt-out system maybe from the schools?
I think so. I don't know. I mean, personally, I think it really should go all together. And, you know, you can have a Catholic ethos and whatever else. I mean, it just doesn't suit everyone. It really isn't reflective of society. You know, the Catholic ethos is very much about traditional values and all the rest of it. And that's just not the way everyone is living their lives. I mean, what if you have a child growing up in a Catholic ethos school who is from the LGBTQ plus community, and you know, that can be very damaging for them, you know, when this thing is being reinforced, the whole Catholic ethos, traditional man and woman, and, you know, in their head, they're being told, you know, what they're thinking is wrong every day. I mean, what about those children who are left on the sidelines and caught in those situations?
Mm. Okay, Colm, thanks for joining us on Lunchtime Live this afternoon, talking about the baptism barrier. Lots of text in. If the Catholic school is oversubscribed, build more schools. A smithy in Swords is a quite easy solution to it. And Garrod says all 80% plus who are religious pay taxes and want their religion taught there. So an interesting one. The red herring aspect is another interesting one. I suppose this is going to be a big week for education. Kind of convenient that the narrative and the conversation is shifted back onto the baptism rather than teachers pay right in the week of these different conferences, but I'm sure we'll be hearing plenty about it.
Thanks again for listening to this Lunchtime Live podcast. Please do subscribe via the app or on iTunes, and check us out on newstalk.com/lunchtimelive. Talk to you again soon.